Welcome to the Coder Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, I'm quite excited about. We're going to be talking about the newly released Spark. Now, Spark is kind of like an add-on or an integration into Laravel that gives you all the functionality that you need for creating just about any SaaS bit of software. So with the recent release, I thought it'd be great to talk about it, especially seeing as that Laravel and the ecosystem around it is quite interesting and really powerful. So I think that Spark really just tops things off quite well. So let's just get into this and give you the kind of high level about Spark. So Spark provides the perfect starting point for your next big idea. Forget all the boilerplate and focus on what matters, your application. So Spark essentially gives you a starting point or a platform to build SaaS products. So anything that requires like authentication, subscriptions, all that kind of stuff. It's created by Taylor Otwell. He is the creator of Laravel. So you know that the integration with Laravel is going to be absolutely spot on. But I want to take a step back and just for anyone who's not too sure what Laravel is, it's a PHP framework that takes a lot, at least in my opinion, takes a lot from Rails, where it uses a CLI as a first-class citizen. It's adopting similar patterns, and those patterns work really well. The other thing about Laravel is it's been around for a while. Like, it is quite mature, but it seems that the community has kind of settled on it as the go-to PHP framework of choice. Now, there's a lot of other PHP frameworks out there, and this may be just because of the circles that I'm in, but it seems like everyone who is programming in PHP and wants to do something fairly custom, so they reach for a framework, they're reaching for Laravel every time. And myself personally, if I was creating something in PHP that required a framework, hands down, I would go with Laravel. I don't want to kind of make this the Laravel episode, because this is about Spark, so I'll probably do a follow-up episode on Laravel itself, because if you haven't actually played around with it or used it and you are a PHP developer or starting to learn PHP, it is a really, really great piece of software to have in your toolkit. So I spoke about the ecosystem. So Laravel is one of them, and now we've got Spark, but there's a couple others. There's Forge, which allows you to provision, host, and deploy PHP applications to AWS, DigitalOcean, and Linode. And it has a fairly small fee per month to do that, and it just makes provisioning and getting your application out there so, so simple. It's fantastic. So you can check that out at forge.laravel.com. There's also Envoya. Now, this allows you to do zero downtime deploys for your PHP applications. Really important if you're deploying quite often, because when you deploy, there can be moments of downtime, and if there's a lot of visitors or visitors who could be using something very crucial, you don't want it to interrupt. It's really important that you get that zero downtime happening. So Envoya solves that problem for you. You can check that out at envoya.io. I've got all these links listed in the show notes. Now back to Spark. So if you want to check it out, you can check it out at spark.laravel.com. But to give you the TLDR, they call it superhero scaffolding. So Spark is a Laravel package that provides scaffolding for all of the stuff you don't want to code. Subscription billing, invoicing, all that kind of stuff, it handles it for you. We even take care of authentication, password reset, team billing, two-factor auth, profile photos, and a lot more. And basically, it's your starting point. So it's where you start off your new application to get whatever idea you have out there. Now, one of the gotchas which I want to discuss before I go into all the different features that it gives you and functionality that it gives you is this is for new projects only. It's not recommended to trying to integrate it into your existing Laravel projects. You might be able to do it. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't even tried. But I'm assuming it'd be quite hard to do so. I'm sure if you really gave enough time, you probably could get your existing application to work with Spark. But Spark itself is its own thing. So it has a command line tool, and you can basically run Spark, and you can specify some options, optional options, and it will create a Laravel project with all the Spark stuff put into it. So what it does around that, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't looked right into the internals with that one yet. But yeah, that's the big gotcha, is it needs to be new applications or new projects only. So you can't, if you've got an existing Laravel project, it's more than likely not going to work for you. So yeah, just something to note there. Now getting on with the features, because there's quite a lot, and the benefits of this astronomical in terms of its cost, because it does have a cost, which I'll get to the end, episode. So first thing, gives you authentication, very integral part of building an application, especially when you're dealing with any kind of data that's user entered and things like that. So it handles your authentication, your registration, password resets, everything like that. It's ready out of the box, no coding involved. The next thing is subscriptions. So subscriptions are pretty major now, especially if you're creating a SaaS product. So it will handle the billing for you. So you can offer monthly and yearly plans, and that will be processed through either Stripe or Braintree. At the moment, that's all they have support for. I'm not too sure if there's going to be opening up any kind of functionality there to add your own providers for payments, but it'd be great to see if that does happen. And you can define those plans using code. So the plans don't live in the database. It's all in code, which is quite good in terms of not having to then have to worry about updating the database and production and things like that. I actually quite like it being in code, so it's nice. Teams. So you can now allow users to create, join, and invite other users to their teams without writing a single line of code. Next is invoices. So you can allow your customers to download PDF copies of their invoices. Spark will even automatically email your customers their monthly invoice. So that's one more thing you don't have to worry about. Keeping it automated really makes a huge difference. The next is team billing. So you can also have allow each team that you have on there to have its own billing plan. So this is kind of like GitHub organizations is what they're saying, and I think it models it quite well. Yeah, it's a nice feature there, and they say tears of joy are nothing to be ashamed of, because that team billing, it can be quite frustrating to write yourself. The next is announcements. So make announcements to your customers so they are always in the loop. So this is kind of in-app notifications kind of thing. The next one, which I think is quite interesting, and I'm glad that they put it in there, is user impersonation. And that allows you to essentially debug a problem that you need to log in as a customer, and it's a lot easier to debug if you can do that. So this will allow you to impersonate the particular user that's having the problem and see from firsthand how, like, what problem they're having, because you're going to have exactly everything the same because you're actually impersonating that user. Really handy if you've never ever used any user impersonation before. Tremendously helpful. The next is two-factor auth. Everyone loves two-factor auth these days. I'm pretty sure every service online just about has two-factor auth or offers it. Just to keep things nice and secure, it's good that that option is in there. The next is API out of the box. So Spark allows your customers to generate API tokens and even grant specific abilities to tokens. Of course, API authentication is ready out of the box. Share your API with your JavaScript client and your SDK. So it's quite nice that you can then easily put on your own front end. Whether it's in React or Ember, anything like that, you can put that on there as well. Or if you want your clients to be able to connect there and do something with the data in your application, all ready to go. The next is easy upgrades. So thanks to what Laravel's taken on with having a command line interface, a nice little tool there to be able to work with your application. Same goes for Spark, and allows you to easily upgrade and install, create new versions of Spark. So really, really nice to see that there. And of course, with all this, it's extremely customizable. There's a lot that you can change. You can change small, tiny pieces or a huge chunk of functionality. It makes it fairly easy to extend. Even the JavaScript side of things, which, interestingly enough, they've chosen Vue.js. So if you haven't checked this out, it's Vue.js. And it's kind of like a cross between React and Angular. But it's quite a nice, very, very light client-side framework, a JavaScript framework that they've got in there. But if you don't like that in there, you can always replace it with something else, so you're not quite locked into anything there. So it's quite nice, the bunch of features that they give there. Now, you're probably thinking, well, you spoke about price before. Well, yes, there is a cost. With these costs, there's two levels. There's just per site, which is $99. I'm pretty sure it's $99 US per site. Now, if you're building a SaaS application, that $99 really goes down to zero. You can just include it in your costs or just absorb it in some way in your budget, because that is tiny. That fee, that price that you're paying is basically nothing for what you get out of the box. You've easily saved that time. Like, for example, let's say you charge $100 an hour. There's no way you're going to build authentication, subscriptions, invoicing teams, team billing, all that kind of stuff. Even just a couple of those, you're not going to build them in an hour. So you've already made your money back just simply from the per site license. Now, what's even better is if you are either a freelancer who does a lot of these kind of sites, or if you're an agency that does a lot of these kind of sites, there is also an unlimited sites price there for you. $2.99. For me personally, if you see yourself creating even just a couple, it'd probably be nearly worth just going for the unlimited sites, because more than likely you're going to create more than a couple. If you're just trying out, maybe it's worth going for the per site license initially. I'm not too sure if you can kind of do a pro rata upgrade. I don't think so. But it's good that they've got the options there, and I think the price point has been set quite well. It's a nice setting of pricing. Like, it's sitting at quite a good level where it's not astronomically out there, but it's still returning some decent funds back to the developers. And it's suitable for both freelancers and agencies. It's a nice level of pricing there. I think they've done a really good job there with that. But that's essentially it. So Spark is now out. It seemed to go from beta to release fairly quickly, but it's quite solid. Playing around with it, it's quite nice. But I'd love to know, you know, have you used the beta before? Are you using this now in production? And have you already got something out? When this podcast episode airs, or when you're listening to it, is more than likely not long after it was released. So it'd be interesting to see if you've actually tried it out, or if you've put it into production. What's your thoughts? Anything like that? I'd love to know. Or even if you are a Laravel developer, what's your thoughts on this? Have you found anything else that's similar that you currently use as opposed to Spark? I'd love to know. You can send through a tweet to CodaCatchUp. You can also send me an email, codacatchup@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. But I'd really love to know what your thoughts are, any feedback you have on it. If you played around with it, it'd be great to know your experiences. Also, if you do have a spare few moments, I'd really appreciate it if you could spend, you know, a minute just giving a little review and a rating in iTunes. It helps me tremendously in being able to know kind of how you're receiving the podcast, what your thoughts are on it, just general feedback there, as well as it provides some visibility to other people who might find the podcast interesting, and that review might be able to bring them on to subscribing or something like that, which can get this out to more people. So yeah, I'd really appreciate if you can do that if you do have a spare few moments. But otherwise, we'll catch the next episode.